Welcome back, everybody, one and all, to the Cave of Solitude. This is Lady J doing the intro this week because Vigil Anthony, Eric Anthony, that guy, he's been a pretty busy bee this weekend with the whole fan expo and all this happening stuff in the T-Dope. This is your pop culture and comic book podcast, The Cave of Solitude. So this week, there's been a lot of stuff going on at the Fan Expo. Eric Anthony was in attendance for the amazing DC Comics panel, which had a huge lineup of creators. There was the Scott Snyder, there was the Greg Capullo, there was the Jeff Lemire, and also the Jason Fabok, who I think is a friend of the show. He's made an appearance in previous episodes. And if you haven't heard that, this is your time. Actually, no. Finish listening to this one. And then go back and listen to what Jason has to say. Yes, we are on a first name basis here in the cave. He likes Batman's ears shorter, not too pointy. That's just a little tidbit, just a little whetting of the appetite for his episode back, maybe about four episodes back. Anyway, yeah, all that is happening. And guess who else was there? Mr. Jim Lee. Yep. Yeah, he was there. He drew some stuffs. And we have it on video. So, at this panel, there was a lot of chit-chat about the DC Rebirth. And if you were kind of on the fence about what's going on, with the current DC event, the Dark Knight Metal, featuring, hello, the B-Man, Scott Snyder has a couple of things to say to you about why this is worthwhile. So, I'm going to let you guys to it. Enjoy what's the inside scoop at the Fan Expo.
What are you doing, Daft J? Did you sabotage the show?
I just made it better, my friend.
I hear you talking to yourself. I walk in and you're doing the intro to the show.
I took over. It's a takeover. Guys.
What did you say? No, really, how did you know what the intro to the show was going to be? What made you feel like you had the liberty to just take over the show?
I did some detective work.
Oh, really?
Yes, I did.
Well, how did you know what to say? What's the show about?
It's about, Batman.
Yeah, what about Batman? How did you know what my intro was going to be?
Because I saw the legend. I saw the thing that you were going to do on the day.
You saw my outline for the notes. And you freestyled the outline to the notes.
Can we just press the music?
No, okay, no. I want you to prove to me. Wait, I'm in the room now. Let me get into the mic because I'm talking far away. Bring the mic over. Let me speak to you. So you took over the show. You did the intro for the first time. You tried to do an episode that Eric Anthony wouldn't be on. Is basically what you did. Do you know what DC Metal is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who's writing it?
Scott Snyder.
And who's Scott Snyder?
He's the one that did the upside down page.
What does that mean?
In the Court of Owls! Where it, spun my head. I felt waves.
And who's Jason Fabok?
He was on the show. He draws Batman.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
And who else? Who else was that mentioned there?
Stop testing me. I don't like this. Hot seat business.
How about Jim Lee? Do you know Jim Lee?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, what about Jim Lee?
He draws. And he always uses a raw base pencil outline thing, and to make the head of a character, you cylinder, and then the neck cylinder off to the side. Yep, that's his technique. That is what you do.
You had me at the upside down page. You know what you're talking about.
I do. That's why I'm here.
Thank you, Daft J.
You're welcome.
Okay, can we play the episode now?
Please, because I don't know how to do it.
Is the track prepared?
I humbly acknowledge that I don't know how to put this together. You just
know how to press record just and talk into the mic and sabotage the show.
If the numbers are running, something's happening.
Okay. All right. You ready?
Listos.
DC Metal Fan Expo 2017. High five, Def J.
Rock on!
Let me introduce a couple people who will be joining me on this panel. First up, I'd like to introduce the writer. Oh, yes, you know what? I want to do the writer. Let's do the writer of Dark Days, Dark Nights, Heavy Metal, Regular Metal, Scott Snyder. And the artist extraordinaire of the project, Mr. Greg Capullo. One of the people I love to bring back in here, who's going to be talking about some new projects and his return to DC Comics, Mr. Jeff Lemire. And I think we're going to have some more folks join us, but you know what? We're going to get this thing started. And you know what? I said a little bit of this yesterday. By the way, in case you're wondering, I did not grow this hair overnight. Hard to believe. Hard to believe. And you're thinking I'm doing this, I'm wearing this because of the metal series. You're wrong. I just don't want to be confused with Greg Capullo anymore. So there we go. So if you're going to wonder how you tell the difference between us, here you go. Easy. Easy it is. But anyway, like we said, we've been doing Rebirth for a while. And again, back to you guys. Is it working for you? You liking it? What do you like? Oh my God, Greg, stand up. What do you like about it? What are you enjoying? Okay, next person. Okay, come on, go.
Green Lantern.
There you go. What do I want to hear? What else? Anybody else? Who else is liking Rebirth? This side. What are you enjoying?
Return of Ezreal.
Oh, there you go. That's a nice one too. One more over there.
Everything.
There you go. There you go. That's what it is.
Hey, who wants toys of the JLA wearing medieval armor like you saw in the issue one?
Yes.
Who wants a toy? That's all who wants a toy? Come on. We all want those toys.
But like we said, we started with Rebirth, and we figured we'd get things back on track, and now it's time to make it a little crazy. And I think that's what these gentlemen set out to do when they start to put together the story for Metal. We wanted something a little bit crazy, but you know what? This is where I turn it over to you, Scott. Take it away.
Yeah, man, well, first of all, thank you guys for showing us such a good time. This is my first time up in Toronto, and it's been such a blast. I really, really appreciate it, you giving us, like, an incredible welcome. And with Metal, I think the idea was just that about a year ago, a little over a year ago, Rebirth started, and it was going so well, and it was about bringing back all this connective tissue and the bringing back legacy, bringing back the classic in a way that made you guys feel like all the stuff that you had read mattered, you know, and it was all part of one big thing. And so Dan approached me, and there was a story I had been working on for a couple of years in my head about what if the Justice League, through Batman, discovered a mystery that led them to a place that we had never seen before in the cosmology of the DCU. What if Batman realized that there was one mystery that spanned his entire life, and it was the greatest detective case almost in human history, and he picked up this torch from Hawkman and realized that this mystery led to a place called the Dark Multiverse, and what that would be was this vast oceanic realm that lay beneath the multiverse itself, and no one knows what it is. No one's explored it, no one's been there, nothing's come from it, and just as he discovers at that moment that it exists, he realizes it's about to invade, and it's been targeting him for a very, very long time. And so I had the story, and I pitched it to Dan, and he was like, go for it, as long as it's about new things, because Rebirth for us is really about reestablishing all those great connections, right? And showing you guys that we know that all the stuff that you love about DC, we love too, and it still exists, and it's there, and it's important to us. So Metal is about sort of blazing a trail and exploring and discovering new realms in the DCU, new characters, new villains, new story concepts, all of that built on the shoulders of the stuff that we love the most. So Metal's a story that connects a lot of stuff in the DCU, from Final Crisis to Infinite Crisis and Crisis on Infinite Earths, also to JSA and Hawkman, all kinds of stuff that I loved growing up. And getting into comics, and it's a celebration of that bonkers, over-the-top, you know, comic book event storytelling. But it's about blazing a trail through the darkness into new stuff. So that's really where we felt like it fit with Doomsday Clock, it fit with Rebirth, it fits with the kind of projects we're doing with Mr. Miracle, all that kind of stuff. Each thing has its own mission, and Metal's mission is to be like, let's have fun this summer, let's celebrate the stuff we love, and use it as a launching pad to just blast off into the new, into brand new, crazy, daring stuff.
And let's hold that thought for 1 second, because I want to introduce our fourth panelist. He's done the beautiful job on so many of these covers here. He's done great work for us on Justice League and so many great series. Mr. Jay Fabag. When Greg was talking about the metal armored up Justice League, that's the stuff he's talking about. Looks absolutely beautiful. But you know what? Let's turn it over to Greg. What it's like for you working on this project?
Well, apart from the JLA being all armored up and fighting in an arena and stuff like that, it just keeps getting more and more crazy every issue I get. But the best part I got to tell you so far is creating the Seven Evil Batman. You guys look at that guy?
Yeah.
All those. What's your favorite one? Is it Smiling Batman?
Yeah.
You've seen nothing yet, though. And when you see the Robins on the chains and all their terror in issue 3 is where I'm working on that stuff now. It's going to blow your mind. I love these little things. I won't rest until they've devoured somebody entirely down to bones. But what I'm telling you is when we say this is metal and it's a heavy metal ride, is because everything that genre kind of brings to life, the imagery, you're going to find that coming at you with full force in the coming issues. So what do I love about it? It's gritty, it's loud, it's dangerous, it's sharp, it's metal.
There we go. You know what? Wait, we got one more. We got one more panelist coming. Now, we have so many great talent here doing so much great work. Every once in a while, you got to bring somebody brand new in. And we like to give people opportunity to break into the business, try to find a way to come in. So, I'd like to introduce next for our panelists, the co-publisher of DC Comics, Mr. Jim Lee. Supposed to wear a wig too, but he chickened out, man. Tucked away. Scott, back to you again.
Yeah.
What it's been like pulling this all together with all the different talent, and just give them the process of how this book came together for you, story-wise.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I started thinking about this book about really when we were working on Endgame a little bit. I had the idea for it. So it's been quite a while coming, and if you go back and you look at a lot of our stuff in our run from Batman 40 to 50, you'll see terms and things that hint at metal. So once metal gets rolling, you'll see how long it was planned. But really what it was I wanted to do a culmination of everything that we've done. I was like, if we do one more story together at DC, and hopefully we have many more, but if we did one, I always think of it that way. I'm like, what if I only got to write one story ever? And for anyone that's an aspiring writer out there, I would say, and I say this in the class that I teach, try to think of it that way. Be like, if I got one shot, what would I write? Only one and nothing else ever. So this story is that, but it's basically that given everything we've done at DC, every character I've ever wanted to write, from Plastic Man to Swamp Thing again to, you know, Dr. Fate, Mr. Terrific, just everything that I love that I haven't had a chance to use yet. I wanted to make a story that celebrated those things, made sense story-wise, and just brought them into the greatest mystery that we've ever sort of explored in the DCU. And what they realize is not only does this dark multiverse exist and it's coming to invade, but the lord of this dark multiverse, Berbatos, has decided that he's going to use Batman as the doorway. So he takes these seven nightmare Batmen. So I'll explain them to you. I'm totally going to spoil them. They're basically Batman's worst nightmares about himself. He thinks, God, what if, you know, when Superman first got here and Superman, I was worried about Superman and Lex came to me and wanted to make sort of a doomsday plan. What if I followed that? What if I did that? God, I'm so glad I didn't. But the dark multiverse is a place of dream and of wonder and all the things that you're afraid of about your life. Like, let's say you're like, God, what if I get fired tomorrow? When you worry about that, that planet pops up in the dark multiverse as this fluid, isotropic, creepy, nightmarish world. And then when you stop worrying about it, it goes away. But if the lord of that world said, I'm going to target you and I'm going to go find the worst nightmares you have about yourself. So let's say your biggest nightmare is you're Batman. You say, what if I killed the Joker, right? What if I killed the Joker and secretly he had something in his heart that was a super toxin? And when I killed him, he's always wanted me to do that because that toxin would be released and make whoever killed him the next Joker. What if I did that and I made that mistake?
I like it.
Right?
And then I invited the family over to... I'm told that's too much spoiling. I was about to spoil a scene that I did in the comic I'm not even writing. But I basically... Yeah. It's my favorite.
Not writing yet.
No, it's coming. It's there. It just hasn't been written yet. But it's in Batman Who Laughs, where it's my favorite darkest scene that I've ever conceived of with the Bat family, where he invites them over to tell them this. And he's like, I've done this terrible thing. I killed the Joker, and this is why. And they're like, thank you for bringing us in to help. Help you, Bruce. We know you're infected. And he's like, but I didn't bring you over to tell you to help me. And that's the beginning of the scene. Anyway, I totally went down a rabbit hole. The point is, the Dark Multiverse is a place where all your worst fears exist, right? So I was like, what if all of Batman's worst nightmares about himself exist? And this evil character, this lord, this dragon under the stairs comes here and says, I'm bringing all those to show you what a failure you are. I let you be this great hero that all humans look at and say, I can do what I want to do. I can overcome my worst fears. I can be the hero I thought I could be, so that I could flip you and then show how you're the worst villain in the history of humanity. And you wear my symbol, the symbol of the bat, the thing that lives in darkness, the connection between death and life. I'm going to be that thing, the bat that killed the bird, the brother that kills the brother, Cain, all of it. You are the worst villain in the history of mankind, and I'm going to prove it. And in proving it, I'm going to bring the whole world down into the darkness, through dream, through all of it. And so I had this idea, and I was so excited about it, you know, and I remember telling Greg, and I was like, he came to my house, remember it was last summer, and we were all hanging out, having some drinks, and whatever, and I was like, I want to lay this on you, dude. And I had this whole thing prepared where I was like, it's going to be all these Nightmare Batman, whatever. And I was like, first, the coolest thing is because it's discovered through Nth Metal. Nth Metal is this material, right? In the DCU that gives everybody different powers, weirdly. It gives Hawkman the ability to reincarnate and fly, and Dr. Fate, it sort of powers his mystical helmet, and Deathstroke, his sword is really powerful. So nobody knows, right, Deathstroke's in it. Deathstroke, I totally spoiled another thing, but he's in it. He actually travels to the center of the Earth with Aquaman to discover an anti-life equation mystery. So that is the truth. I know, right? There, see? I'm just spoiling it. And then they go to the real Thanagar. I'm totally just going to go. With Plastic Man Egg leads them to the real Thanagar, which we've never seen, with Mr. Terrific. And there's... Anyway, I'll stop. But the point is...
That you're not going to stop.
Right. No. The point is, essentially what this... It's really, at the end of the day, for all its craziness, it's a very, very simple story. It's about exploration.
It sounds simple.
It does, right? Well, no, what I realized...
I'm drawing it. It ain't simple.
What I realized, it really is like the finale of all the stuff that we've done. Not that it's going to be the last thing, but... My time on Batman with him, I mean, this is the great friendship of my career, you know, and the great partnership where I've learned more than I've learned from anybody in life, from Greg other than my parents, you know, and...
I told
you
the same thing last night.
Sorry, I'm a whore. But what I realized was what I wanted this story to be was something that was really simple and personal about those times in your life where you're exploring and you're discovering and you think that what you're doing is something that's bringing answers and you're to yourself and to the people you love and you're writing and you're going through it and then suddenly you realize that no, every road you look at, every answer that you've discovered is actually just points back to failings in yourself. And I've been through times like that and this story is about looking through that and saying, no, you have to get through that to find the wonder again. And so anyway, the discovering it and sort of rolling through it, Greg was in my house and I had this whole speech prepared about like, this is what the story is. And I was basically like, so it's called Metal. And he was like, done, in. And I was like, but wait, there's like a whole PowerPoint. You know what I mean? Like a drunken PowerPoint thing. And he was like, Metal, I'm in, son. I was like, okay. And I told him, and I was like, all right, we're doing this. So that was it.
By the way, I just have to thank you for throwing in Swamp Thing. That I got to draw Swamp Thing for a splash page, and now I want to do a mini-series of Swamp Thing. You like that? Yeah, I like that too. Swamp Thing, but it's not going to be like, you know, flowers, butterfly Swamp Thing. This is gnarly monster Swamp Thing if I come in. So, yeah, we're going to make it dark, scary, and big and gnarly.
You know what? I'm going to go to Jim for a second because, Jim, you were part of the story in the beginning when we were doing Casting and Forge that led into Metal. How did you see this story start to develop in front of you, too?
Good question. That was like a long time ago. But no, you know what? I think when Scott pitched it to me, he started talking about metals and the periodic table. And that's when I said, I'm in. So I like science.
Jim likes science.
Yeah, I like science. And I like the idea of tying all these disparate elements, literal elements within the DC universe, kind of existed and have had these special properties, and kind of giving it a backstory and going all the way back to the beginnings of the DC universe. And I love the fact that metal basically touches on all these aspects, but not in a way that you get bored and go like, oh, okay, all right, that's another metal, whatever, secret metal. But that they really tie it into the lore and it makes them important. And then you start seeing how all these characters are interconnected in ways that we didn't know prior to this series. So to me, that's world building, that's galaxy, cosmos building. And that's when I said, like, this is awesome. So we've got to do it.
And now I'm going to go over to Jay for a second. Jay, you've been working on, and you came in to do the covers on these things, but you've been working off of Greg's designs. How's that been for you?
It was awesome. When they pitched it to me, they sent me Greg's designs. I was like, yeah, I got to draw it. I gotta draw these covers. I gotta get my chance to draw the Batman who laughs, and the Red Death. I could call him Bat Flash. And yeah, it was just every design was so cool, and they kind of wanted to do like a kind of like those old like Man of War heavy metal covers, you know, mixed with like Frazetta kind of deal. So I tried to like harness some of that, and then they were throwing out crazy ideas like for the murder machine. They were like, put a giant locomotive train on the front. And I was like, okay. my son likes Thomas the Tank Engine, so I was like, I can evil Thomas the Tank Engine and put it on there, you know, with a big giant Batman face instead. He's killing everybody. And so, yeah, each one was just a little bit more crazy and ridiculous, and I had a blast drawing those covers, and I can't wait to see those characters, you know, come to life in each issue of the book.
And, you know, Greg, I'm going to go back to you now about the designs themselves. What did you do to pull those all together? I mean, you were really... What was the inspiration behind each one of the interpretations that came about?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to... You know, it's weird to answer that question every time I get that question because I use just so much, fluid instinct, really. The closest I could... I'll give you an example, though, with, the Flash one. Was, you know, I said to myself, okay... Because what I try and do is, whether it's... No matter, I'll give you Spider-Man as an example, right? He's got webs on him because he's Spider-Man, right? And so I kind of, that's the mentality, right? And so I bring it back even, to when I did the Talons. It's like some of the line seams on the suits were just how I felt about maybe owls and feathers or whatever. And so that's kind of, my jumping off point. So, well, like with the Flash as an example, you go, okay, so what is that? It goes fast, right? So a Flash. Well, they already locked down the lightning bolt thing. So, all right, how else can I do it? And so being we're going cool and metal and stuff like that, I started to think along the lines of, like, race cars and fighter jets and stuff like that. So I go, I'm going to put, like, spoilers on him and airfoils in his face and all that, right, to symbolize the speed. So he looks gnarly and dangerous because he's got all these sharp fins everywhere, including his face. So that's sort of the way I approach the things, And Scott gave me kind of like some jumping off points, like for the Green Lantern one. He's like a decaying zombie, but teenager kind of, So he gives me that kind of thing, and then it's just like I just let that explode. But I think by giving you the example of the Flash, that's the closest you're going to get into my mindset of how I approach. Because the rest is really just too fluid for me to even, nail it down and explain it to you. I don't know myself. I just go, I let the demons rise and move my hand on the paper. That's it. It's like a Ouija board.
Thank you for that. Jeff Lemire, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of your other books in a second. You're involved in metal as well. And you and Scott work together on projects too, but in this case you came in as one of the specials. I'm one of the specials. You're working on Hawkman.
Yeah, so Hawkman's a character I've always really loved, and I saw a lot of potential in that character. I think, actually, Dan, you and I had talked about it a few years ago at one point, but it didn't work out. And when I knew I was coming back to DC, I started talking to Scott about metal, and he kind of laid it all out. And as soon as he kind of outlined how important Carter Hall and Hawkman would be to the whole story, it just clicked in me again that this would be a perfect entry point back into Hawkman for everybody. And what I see in Hawkman, and what I love so much, is that telling the story of Hawkman and Hawkwoman, their history, their story spans the entirety of the DC Universe's history since the dawn of mankind. So you're not just telling their story, you're telling the secret history of the entire DC Universe by cataloging their lives. And that, to me, seems limitless and just full of potential and epic in every way. So, I mean, I was in on that. This Hawkman fan special will just be sort of the jumping off point, the entry point into what I have planned.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll tie into what Scott's doing.
So, yeah, so in case you're wondering, we got a number of things going on. I'm going to turn back to you, Scott, in a second, so you can lay it all out. But in addition to metal, we have a number of crossovers that take place in the regular books. And there's a story that's called The Gotham Resistance that comes together. And then also Bats Out of Hell, which is a later crossover in the regular titles. Then we have a series of one-shots dealing with each of the different evil Batman. Those are the ones that Jay is doing the covers on. And those will be coming out. We have a book called Batman Lost and another one called Hawkman Found. And that's Jeff's book, but contextualize if you could for us.
Yeah, sure. It's actually really simple. And one of the things that I think has been great about this crossover is that when we started, we didn't want you guys to feel like if you read one part of it, you would need to read all the different parts. I hate those kinds of things. And also, we didn't want you to feel like it was like 50 different books that you had to go pick up or whatever. We wanted it to feel like each part of the crossover would be its own succinct, important part that you could read alone, or if you read all together, you'd get like the richest, big omnibus kind of experience, right? So there's a lot that I left out of metal that I couldn't fit but are awesome pieces, but that aren't essential to the core story. But if I had 10 to 12 issues and we ran at that kind of a pace, which we didn't want to do, and do that kind of long 10, 12 issue event, I would have put in the main story. So there's nothing in these crossovers that isn't awesome. But the way that it's designed is really simple. So metal is metal. It goes 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, it goes 1, 2, 3. Then we do Batman Lost to give Greg time to get ahead, and also because it shows Batman lost in the dark multiverse. Spoiler. And it's awesome. It's awesome. And it's all of his worst nightmares come to life. And it's got everybody in it, all the villains. It's really fun. And then it goes 4, 5, 6. Metal done, right? And when metal ends, there's crazy, crazy fun consequences that are going to roll into crazy shit coming forward, which I won't talk about.
You said
today.
Yes word.
Sorry. I won't talk about
it. No, it wasn't sorry.
The children in the audience, I apologize. So that's metal. Metal is 1 through 6, right? Me and Greg, the whole way, we didn't want you to have multiple artists. It's us as a team, you guys as a team. That's the way it is. But we wanted to show you who these evil Batmen were. What if, when his parents died, young, brilliant Bruce Wayne started experimenting with Black Lantern technology to try and bring them back? There you get Dawnbreaker, right? What if, after a tragedy in Gotham, Alfred dies and Cyborg comes to Batman and says, listen, I know you've been working on this Alfred Protocol. If anybody's been reading my stuff, I've mentioned the Alfred Protocol a lot, but you don't need to know it. It's basically, what if you upload Alfred's consciousness to the Batcomputer, right, and make it like Jarvis? Cyborg's like, I'll do that for you. And he uploads Alfred to the computer so that Alfred will always be alive. And Alfred immediately is like, hello, sir. How may I help you? I know. I will kill your villains. And then kills all the villains. And they're like, we have to stop the Alfred Protocol. And then it kills all the heroes. And then so on. And so you get the murder machine.
So instead of Hal, it's Al.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's cool. It's one of my favorite panels, honestly, in Metal 3 is they show what happened to Detroit, where this every city, totally spoiling it, every city is like taken over by the different evil Batman. And in Detroit, they unleash this Alfred Protocol virus where it nanos.
Jeez, he's telling everything.
I am.
This is supposed to get them to buy the series, not know the series.
This is what I make.
Give me your emails, I'll send you the pencils when I get home.
It's only one panel. It's one panel that I made him draw. It's like it could be a whole issue. But it's basically like in Detroit, everybody gets infected by this nanovirus where they turn into a nano Alfred, and they literally are like, "How may I help you?" And if you upset them, their hand turns into a big gun, and they're like, "Here you go," and that's the end. So anyway, Oh, the one shot, sorry. So there's metal. Metal is 1 through 6, right? There's the one shots, which are called the Dark Knight one shots. They're the nightmares, right? And they tell you the story of each of the Dark Knights, the 7 Dark Knights, right? The Batman Who Laughs is the last one. Red Death is the first one. They have incredible art on them. They are really awesome. I promise you, I would not come here and tell you they were good if they were not good. To the degree that we had big fights internally about how good these things needed to be, because everybody wanted them to be great. And then when they came out and we saw the art for them, they're killer. I promise you, you will not be let down. So these one-shots tell the origins of the Dark Knights. They also show you what those Dark Knights are doing in the present day. So they show you how they take over the cities, what their missions are here, and they give you some hints about what's coming in metal, and they show you the nature of the Dark Multiverse. So they've got they're multifaceted issues, but they tell kind of one story over those 7 issues. So you can pick them up. If you want one of them, you can pick one of them up. What would happen if Batman experimented with the Doomsday Virus? Nothing good. That's Batman Devastator by Tony Daniel and Frank Thierry, which is awesome. What would happen if Batman tried to get into the Speed Force because he needs to be faster? Nothing good happens. Again, that's Red Death. Josh Williamson, it's amazing. Those are the one-shots. The Bats Out of Hell, Gotham Resistance is the next thing. That happens right as Metal 2 comes out. When Barbatos and the Dark Knights come here, they change Gotham first. And what they do is, the Batman Who Laughs has Joker cards. I'm totally spoiling more. He's got these Joker cards made of a special metal. We don't know what it is. But when he gives it to Gotham's greatest villains, he says, I want you to think, imagine the thing that you want if you were unbridled by Batman and the rules of reality. Take it. It's a Kirby crazy metal. Take it. And they take it, and every realm of Gotham turns into the fantasy of one of the great villains. So you get Frost Giant, Crazy Jon Snow, Winterfell, Mr. Freezeland, which is my favorite, and Nightwing is like Jon Snow there and kind of awesome.
He looks pretty badass, gotta say.
He totally looks badass. You get Riddler getting the most like M.C. Escher crazy clockwork maze wall around Gotham. So Gotham is transformed into this incredible sort of Dungeons and Dragons campaign, impossibly impenetrable King Kong Skull Island sort of world. And that's the Gotham Resistance. As certain characters, Damian, the Suicide Squad, Nightwing, and Green Arrow, make an effort to try and get through that world to get to the mountain and take down Barbatos. And Batman Who Laughs is the villain of that series. It's crazy fun. So that's that. It's written by Ben Percy. It's Ben Percy, and is it Rob Williams, I think, also? Rob Williams. It's awesome.
Suicide Squad.
It's 4 issues, so it's like the 7 issues of the one-shots tell you the origins of the Dark Knights, what they're doing here, how they take over the cities. The Gotham Resistance shows you what happened to Gotham, and it's the first campaign in Gotham. That links up with Metal 3. Once you get into Metal 3, if you didn't read that stuff, it's okay, but if you did, you'll get a bigger picture. And then the biggest, most fun thing is the crossover called Bats Out of Hell. Initially, it was going to be called something else, and I remember going to Dan, and I was like, that title is way too boring. It's way too boring. We got to make it rock and roll. And he's like, what do you want me to call it? Like, Bats Out of Hell or something? And
yes,
I do. My suggestion was Steel Cave Match, which I thought would be awesome, because basically the evil Batmen trap all of our heroes in their specific evil bat caves, which are awesome to kill them. Like, if you were going to make one for the Flash, you'd have awesome Batmobiles to outrun him. He's going to stop me.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, this whole thing's a spoiler, so don't even bother calling it anymore. Okay?
Anyway, the point is, those crossovers, the Bats Out of Hell is essentially the knockdown, drag-out brawl between the Dark Knights and the Justice League, which is super fun and has a payoff with Cyborg and other characters that winds up playing a big part in Metal. So each part is really distinct. They have their own flavor. They're their own book. And you can pick them up and enjoy every neighborhood, like every country of Metal, or you can just pick up Metal itself and you will not be deprived. We were very careful to try and think about what you guys deserve and what I would like to read as a reader, my favorite events growing up. And number one, they are fun and bonkers and cosmically completely out of whack nuts, which is what this is. But they're also organized in such a way where we're not milking you. We did not want you to feel like we were going to do 12 issues where you'd have to pick up everyone at $4.99. And then on top of that,
and
you
that's
also
how
had to
sounds.
Pick up...
See how he thinks of you?
You know, he's like...
No,
that's the evil publisher voice. So it's like, that's like the evil... You should hear his voice for me. It's the same as his wife. His voice for me is the same as his wife.
Is that true?
See? That's... Anyway, the point is that each neighborhood of books is really, if you want to pick it up, I promise they're really good. This is not something, this is our first event. We are not going to let you down. We've been thinking about it for almost 3 years. I promise you we're not flying by the seat of our pants on this one. So every neighborhood of books is really special on its own thing. You decide what you want to pick up. We're not going to force you to pick up all of them to make it make sense. But we wanted to make special things in each area so that if you pick them all up, you get this crazy-ass, huge, awesome, robust experience. So very, very happy with it. I give tremendous credit to Dan, to Jim, to Bob, to everybody that's helped us make this huge, nutty thing, to the editors involved. And honestly, we're very proud of it. We're really, really happy and proud of it. And the one thing I hope you feel is the fun that we're having on the page, with these crossovers, all of it, because it comes from you guys, your enthusiasm, the fact that you had midnight parties, that you sold out number one, that it's coming in over estimates, all that kind of stuff. Thank you, because we wanted you to feel like you're invited to the best rock concert ever this summer, and you're all part of the band, and we're all gonna have fun and celebrate what's awesome about comics.
And in all the issues, I'm including this in various spots.
Oh yeah.
So you can count them out, look for them. They're in all kinds of different places from the characters. It's not like a symbol that you look for.
They're literally in issue two. It is in the best. It is a villain you would never expect. You have to look close. And I was like,
but I do them in a natural way. You know what I mean? It's not like overt.
It's
just like a natural way of doing it. So
I would spoil it, but it is my favorite thing.
Yeah, stop spoiling.
It's my favorite thing.
He didn't have his rhythm this morning.
But it's a villain. And if you look closely, they're like, oh, it's awesome.
It's on page 17, third panel.
Pencil's pending after you get your emails.
It is actually page 17.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well, if you ever wondered whether or not Scott was committed or should be committed to this project, I think that answers every question. But the great part about it, I think we said, that Scott said at the very beginning, and we want to build on that point right now. Again, Rebirth was about really restructuring and re-strengthening the core of every one of our characters, returning to what made them great, what the fans reacted to most. And really, adding new is something very important to the DC Universe. We should always be refreshing. We should always be renewing. But we don't want to do it on the characters that you're comfortable with. We want to make sure we move their stories forward. So we're really building the universe out now. And we have a big plan in place right now. And it's great to have a book like Metal to really be a launching, really be a launch pad for some of the new stuff that we're calling. So we have a new group of books coming out under the, right now we're just calling them Dark Matter. They won't be called that on the books themselves, but we're calling it because what Dark Matter is, the stuff that the universe is made of, the stuff that creates things that are brand new. And we wanted to create a lot of new in the DC Universe, because when we have our characters working, we want to keep them working, but rather reinventing them, we decided to create new characters. So you're going to see a lot of great stuff coming your way. We had a poster that's been floating around that introduces rocks and characters. Wait, first one up, that's Damage coming up. Oops, stop for a second. Damage is the new character created by Tony Daniel and Robert Venditti. Next one up here, Scott and Andy Kubert are going to be reinventing the challenges of the unknown. Next one up, again, that newcomer, Jim Lee, working with James Titus, is introducing the Immortal Men. Nice stuff. Also over here is a new character called Brimstone by Justin Jordan and Philip Tan. There you go. That's another new character. It's called Sideways by Kenneth Rockford and myself, Dan DiDio. There you go. I sneak in there every once in a while. And also another one, Silencer. That is done by John Romita Jr. and Dan Abnett. And last but certainly not least, The Terrifics by Mr. Jeff Lemire and Ivan Rice. You know what? Let's go to you first, Jeff, with The Terrifics, because we heard about the Plastic Man egg, and this one is one of those books that seems to come directly from what's happening in Metal.
Yeah, so we saw the Plastic Man egg and Mr. Terrific in the casting or the Forge. So that sort of started to set the seeds of what we're going to do with The Terrifics. Really, you know, I've always loved to tell stories about families, and I really was drawn to this idea of four characters who probably have no business being on the same team together, but they're by circumstances which will be revealed in the first issue.
No spoilers?
They're pulled together and can't get away from one another, and then they slowly start to, you know, form a family, and let's just say it'll be fantastic. We got Doc Shaner and Ivan Reese doing the art, so I couldn't ask for two more incredible collaborators. They're both such distinct styles, and I think these are Evan's, Doc's initial designs for these characters. He was born to draw Plastic Man. Like, he just loves that character so much. And actually, the project started with me texting Dan one day and asking if anyone was doing anything with Metamorpho, and him saying, yeah, but he never works alone. We need him in a team. Just sort of 18 texts later, we had the terrifics pretty much plotted out. Yeah, it's going to be a big, fun book full of a lot of big excitement, big adventure, trying to capture some of the Stanley, Jeff Kirby, Fantastic Four feel, some of the Tom Strong kind of adventure feel. And, you know, a lot of heart, too, and a lot of emotion. And they're wonderful characters. Each of these characters I've loved. And this version of Phantom Girl is sort of a new character as well, with ties to other Phantom Girls.
Great. Thank you for that. Jim, I'm going to go over to you now, because even though I have a piece of art from the Terrifics, can you explain what's special about those very first issues and the covers?
Is that the long vertical?
Yeah, that's the long vertical.
Yeah, so all the first issues of the Dark Matter line, so the middle section of that vertical cover is the actual cover itself. And you guys have seen pull-out covers, wraparound covers, where there's a flap that folds out, and you get the front cover, the back cover, and the fold-out, and it forms a very wide kind of panoramic shot. So we decided to do that, but in a vertical field. So basically, the middle section of that piece is the cover, and then when you open it up, there's a flap that you pull up and a flap that pulls down, and it gives you this very long vertical image.
Basically, Jim Lee told the 90s to hold his beer.
Exactly. So, but it allows you to do some cool reveals, right? You think you know what you're seeing in the middle cover, and then the top cover and the bottom cover kind of give it a different color or influence. And also allow the artist to do things that probably never have really laid out before in terms of composition. So that's first issue.
That's the first issue. Now, we want to explain something else here. We're going to try something a little different here. We're going to put out comics with just one cover on them. I know it sounds radical.
Say what?
But honestly, what we want these things to do, we have so much faith in these new books that not only... are we only not putting out any variant covers on it? We want these books to be the collectible books, the ones that you want to hold and own. So when people go out there and say, I have the first issue of Immortal Men, or I have the first issue of Terrifics, it's the same issue. It's only that one cover. But it's also one of the things, too, that we feel very strongly about as well, is that we want to keep these as affordable as possible. So I'm sorry, I'm only working in U.S. prices right now, but in U.S. prices, we're keeping this at $2.99 for all the Dark Matter books. It's essential for us because we know this is a commitment for people to come in to try to buy new books and new ideas and sample these things, and we're creating a bunch of them. There'll be 8 new titles over 4 months, 2 books introduced each month. But we want these to be as affordable as possible, so we keep these prices so that you can enjoy them and hopefully make them part of your ongoing collections. And that's the real goal here. It is about keeping fans first. There's something exciting about a major event, and we always look at major events, and when we ask people about what brings me into comics, a lot of folks mention these crazy events that feature every character, and you wonder, how can that be your first book with so much going on? But these are great entry points because the energy and the excitement draws them in, and we have no better energy and excitement than we have right now than it's going on with Metal. So my goal and our goals are that when you're reading Metal and you start to see these new books coming in, that this is also your entry point into the DCU. These are our books that become your characters and things that you would want to read for a long time. So we're having a lot of fun with this. But let's go over now back to Jim again. Now Jim the creator. That was Jim the publisher, now Jim the creator. Right. Jim the creator is talking about the Immortal Men. How did that come together?
Well, before that, Fletcher, can you upload a file on the screen if I send it to you? If I text it to you? No.
What you got? You got your cover.
I have my cover. Yeah. Is that Elmo working? No. Okay. All right.
The other panel, we'll try.
All right, sure. Okay.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Pass it
around. I'll give them all your emails later.
All right, please. Okay.
Can you see this okay in the back? You're okay back there? You got it. Right. Okay, good. I like that. Thank you.
So I'm working on this book called Immortal Men with James Tynan IV. And it's a team book. It basically also spins out of Metal in that We really looked at all the eternal characters that are in the DC universe and try to create a mythology of how they're interconnected through the Nth metal and the dark universe. So we're going to focus on Immortal Men, Ra's al Ghul, Vandal Savage, Hawkman. They all come into play. And so the idea is that back in the day when Vandal Savage was given his powers, you guys know the origin of Vandal Savage? I think that meteor came and it basically granted him immortality, and the idea is that meteor contained nth metal, and so it granted him this power of everlasting life. And so if there were other characters in that sort of prehistoric time that were hit with this nth metal and given immortality, what would they do with their powers? And what you find is that they basically aggregated into different houses, and each house sort of had a different approach or world vision of how humanity should grow and develop. And so you have like a house of war that felt like mankind would advance through warfare, that it would, you know, the survival of the fittest, and that's how we would create the best future possible. And then there's another house of art that would felt that mankind would best succeed if they became the most creative, artistic types ever. And so if you look at the history of humanity, you would see that these different houses kind of ebbed and flowed in terms of their influence and power. Obviously, the Dark Ages, you had war and disease. But then during the Renaissance, you saw that the House of Art maybe got the upper hand. But at the end of the day, all these houses, as they interacted and fought amongst each other and used humanity as proxies and agents in their sort of war against one another, it was a never-ending war because they were immortal. They would never die. And then along comes metal and the rift between the dark universe and our reality, and nth metal comes into play and other elements come into play, and then these immortals realize that there are now elements and objects out there that can kill them, and that basically disturbs the balance of the force, so to speak. But the story really, that's sort of the back setting or the backdrop to the story, but the story really focuses on a character called Caden Park. He is a Korean-American young adult, sort of coming of age, who is a child of privilege, and then he finds out his father has worked for one of these immortals, and he's killed, and his whole life basically is upended, and he's recruited into the Shadow War, and he becomes one of the Immortal Men. And the Immortal Men is a group of heroes kind of drafted from different eras of the past. So there's a character called Ghost Fist, who kind of looks like the Shadow, and he's from the 20s. And there's another character called Timber, who's a Native American character from the turn of the century that has the abilities to grow big, like I think Johnny Appleseed grew big. There's all these like sort of Paul Bunyan, right? So the idea was that she was actually the one that created all these these old American mythological characters, but no one wanted to attribute to a female Native American, so they made up characters like Paul Bunyan and Johnny Appleseed and all these kind of other myths of folklore. And so this character is basically recruited into this war, and that's kind of how the book starts out. So to me, it's really about sacrifice and heroism. And what's really cool, because they drafted different characters from different eras, they really are still kind of stuck in the eras that they were created, and they all have different points of view of how they handle themselves and what defines a hero. And so you'd have literally like characters from the 30s interacting from characters in the 80s, and they would have different approaches to how they defeat and take down villains and how to, you know, save the day. So it's kind of a meta critique of the history of heroism, but also a very interesting kind of take on what it means to sacrifice and be a hero, because all these characters basically abandon their timelines and basically become the secret team to battle evil in today's world. So that's the long... I'm trying to shorten it, so by New York Comic Con, if you guys are there, it's going to be two sentences long. But I love history, I love the periodic table. This meshes all my loves together in one awesome project, so I'm very thankful that we can publish it.
Well, first of all, I'm taking my hair off. I don't know how you people do this shit. It's really hot. Anyway. You know what? It's important for us, and that's one of the reasons why actually Immortal Men's will be the one that's kicking off the entire story for us. Because of its ties to metal and to the material before that, I feel it shows how tightly integral it is, and the same things with Terrifics. We have to wait till the metal story's over because the Plastic Man egg has got a hatch, I guess.
Yeah.
Goes without saying.
Inside is silly putty.
Inside is silly putty. That's, for anybody over 50, that's a really funny joke. But you know what, Scott? You're also working on one of the Dark Matter books, yeah, with challenges.
You tell us a little about that too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a huge honor, to be working with Andy Kubert, who I'm lucky enough to have become friends with over the last few years and have been really looking for a project to collaborate on, and also to be working on The Challengers, which is actually my very first pitch to DC. When I was pitching American Vampire, I pitched a Challenger series to Vertigo as well. So these are characters that I've had in my head for a really long time. I've wanted to do a big Kirby-esque, out-of-control sort of story that was almost like, the way we're doing it is we wanted to bring in four new characters. It's almost like if you did a TV show about Challengers and you had to start it now. And four new characters who find themselves with, they have no idea why they're there in Challenger's Mountain, suddenly recruited. They have these tattoos on their arms of the hourglass. You know, the big concept in the original Challengers of the Unknown is that they're living on borrowed time. They escape death, so they have this feeling death's coming for them, and they go on these crazy adventures and explore everything from, like, you know, dinosaur center of the earth to black hole mysteries. And so it's got this huge, epic space opera kind of scope, you know, but also the sci-fi coolness. So I wanted to do something here that has that feel almost of like Lost, you know what I mean, where it has this huge mysteries, and that every time you answer a question, it just leads you further into mystery, even though there's a mythology that makes sense around the whole series that ties to stuff in The Immortal Men, in Metal, all that stuff. And so essentially you start off with four characters that wake up in Challenger's Mountain. They have these tattoos of hourglasses on their arm, right? And slowly on these strange tattoos, the hourglass sand is running out. And the professor, who's the character in the original but seems to be strangely different in this, comes to them and says, you got to go on a mission right now. I need you to do this. You have to go to this crazy dimension and do this. And they're like, why are we even here? What happened? Where is my life? And he's like, you cannot leave this mountain or you will disintegrate. You need to get in this pod and go on a mission. And it just starts like that. And you don't know what happened to the old Challengers because you see them in Metal. They're still around. There's a mystery around what happened to them. But we wanted to just throw you into it and have you feel like, this is the joy and craziness of Challengers of the Unknown. What if you suddenly found yourself there? Did you die? Why are you there? You know, what happened to you? And the way that it's seated in is just, it's so fun. I love it. It opens in Gotham with, you know, you in the point of view of a police officer on the street while these heroes are fighting high above, like in Marvel's, you know what I mean? And all of a sudden something happens to the cop and he wakes up and he finds himself in Challenger's Mountain. And that's the opening. So it's really crazy fun. It takes you up from everywhere from Skitaris to, you know, the Source Wall and back. It's crazy energetic. And working with Andy is a blast. I mean, the two of us have a way of working too where, you know, we're friends. And so I get to ask him what he wants to draw. And because it's a loose book in that regard too, we can just blast off and go nuts. So we're really excited about it. I work on so many things at DC that are really tightly bound by kind of what we need them to do in ways that we set up. So that's not, you know, a bad thing. It's just like I'm doing Metal and I need it to end in a way that has like seven amazing moments that you will not see coming that will affect the DCU and so on. This is one of those books that I can be like, this is connected, but at the beginning it can go anywhere and do anything. And so it has that feel, you know? So I'm really excited for you to see it. Again, it's a blast. And I would just want to throw back to what Jim was saying about The Immortal Men and also throw a couple nods to some of the other Dark Matter books like Silencer, which John is working on, and those. Like, we had a summit a few months ago, or more than that, but where Dan and Jim had us out, a bunch of artists and writers, and just said, what's your dream project? If you could make anything from whole cloth, what would it be? And to do that, with Rebirth going as well as it had, and the risk on something like Metal coming, right? Because Metal is nutty, and there was always a question of whether you guys would buy in or not, you know? To be able to say, we're going to take the capital that we've earned with Rebirth and the kind of goodwill from you guys and take a risk because we hope that it's something that you're going to enjoy even more than if we just played it safe and tried to give you five books of Superman and seven more of Batman books was something that was really inspiring. So everyone really rose to the challenge, and the books they came up with, from Silencer, Sideways, you know, all of them, are passion projects for these artists and writers. And so I give them tremendous credit, DC and the publishers, for instead of sitting back and saying, let's do what's going to make us, you know, certainly a little bit more money and be easier, let's try something that could make the next great books for you guys based on the passions of our creators. So it's a great spirit right now. I hope you guys see that the energy at DC internally too, and the plan that we have over the next 2 years, because we have plans all the way past Metal into 2018, 2019, easy at this point, are things that we couldn't be more excited about. And, you know, we really enjoy working together, all of us, the writers and artists. We're at a really good point right now, and it feels like a golden moment. And that really, again, throwing credit back to Dan and Jim and, you know, the people that have been letting us, steering the ship and taking risks in ways that I think are paying off. So we're really excited about these books.
And as you can see right now, we have a sign up there that says it's the new age of DC heroes. It's great for rebirth, for metal, for these new heroes coming away. Hopefully you'll be enjoying everything coming from DC from this moment forward, reality from everything. So I did it at the beginning. Let me finish it up now. At the start of this, how many people read Metal number one? How many people plan to read Metal number two? More hands. That's what we want to see. We want everybody out there. I want to thank the panelists, Jim Lee, Jason Barber, Jeff Lemire, Greg Spoon, Scott Snyder, especially...